5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show.
As I drove away, she said, "What the hell was that?" And I said, "I don't know, and I'm not going to hang around to look to find out."
The back of the hands was skin, okay, and some of the face was more skin coming through than hair.
This thing screamed back at us, and just from the volume and the resonance of this scream, it was like your hair just waved.
I heard a scratching on the screen, and I looked up, and I seen this thing. It was showing its teeth, and it was doing its hand like this.
There seems to be enough data, enough information, enough evidence for us to take these things seriously.
I know these creatures exist because I've seen them.
So loud that it just, the inside of your ears tickled. I mean, it shook them.
What really bugs me about the entire thing is people are so afraid to give reports because they're afraid to be ridiculed.
Yes, I think there's something going on, and I'm very interested in what these people are finding.
The creature is similar in description to the Pacific Northwest Bigfoot. Craig Woolheater, founder of the Texas Bigfoot Research Center, began investigating this after his own sighting on Memorial Day 1994, a day he will never forget.
As we approached, the headlights illuminated what I can only call a creature of about 7 feet tall. It was covered with hair and was walking on two legs. In the illumination of my headlights, it appeared to be grayish in color. And we both saw it simultaneously and said to each other, "Did you just see what I just saw?" as we passed. And we agreed that we both saw it. And I asked her what she thought she saw, and she said, "I think I saw a Bigfoot." And I wanted to go back to see what it was, and she didn't. So we just kept going, unfortunately.
Bobby Hamilton is another eyewitness.
Just outside of Garrison, Texas, it crashed on the window screen. When I looked to the window, it was motioning for me to come to the window. And I can remember the teeth. It was showing its teeth. I was petrified.
Fact is often stranger than fiction. Encounters with these strange creatures are not limited to the Pacific Northwest. Northern Maine. Natives who lived there would speak of man-like giants roaming the forests. In the 1800s, a trapper went missing. He was found dead near a stream. The body was mangled and broken. Blood was found high up in a tree, and it became apparent to those who found the body. They said that it appeared to have been picked up and repeatedly slammed against a tree. Many years later, loggers would report their camps being attacked by large, man-like creatures. Sometimes, though, it's not what you see in the woods, but what you hear that can change a skeptic into a believer. Imagine laying in your tent or sitting around a campfire late at night, and you hear this. Visit us at SasquatchChronicles.com if you enjoy the show. Last Wednesday night, I spoke with Jim Lansdale, and Jim had a lot of interesting encounters to talk about. He's one of the co-founders of the GCBRO, the Gulf Coast Bigfoot Research Organization. Jim had so many great stories. I can't thank Jim enough for coming on the show. I know this Wednesday I'm working on trying to bring a special guest on who has probably one of the strangest stories I've ever heard. So look for that on Wednesday. Tonight I'll be speaking with Bill, and Bill actually works for the Sheriff's Department. And Bill and his brother had a strange encounter while they were out hunting. I'm working on getting Bill's brother to come on, because Bill's brother actually had a separate encounter too as well. A couple of years later, Bill's brother was out and had walked into a tree line and had one of these creatures actually stand up, and he was within a matter of feet from this thing. Bill, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for being here tonight. And what I'd like to do is jump right into your encounter. Can you tell us what you were doing the first time you had any sort of experience? Kind of walk us through what you were doing and walk us right into the encounter.
Yeah, you betcha. What we had, Wes, is we kind of had a canyon down there that was, it was just very large, very big canyon, very deep, very dark pines, in the canyon. Not a lot of traffic through there. You get hikers and stuff through there every once in a while, but not a lot of people go into there. The experiences started when I was younger. The first one I had was probably early high school. I probably was a freshman. So this would have been back in about 1997 or 98. Me and four or three other kids about my age where I went for a hike up into the canyon. There's a good trail that went all the way up the bottom. It kind of followed a really nice creek up there. I had a dog, and he was a Rottweiler lab cross. He was huge, and, you know, he wasn't really afraid of anything, but for some reason that day he was just acting very, very strange, very skittish, like he was afraid. And it was weird. We were all kind of commenting back and forth about how there was just a weird feeling, you know, how kind of the things were just really quiet and it wasn't normal. So we hiked up there about 3 miles, and while we were up there, we kind of were just dinking around, and we heard what kind of sounded like a large crash. And I don't know why, but to this day, I remember it as almost like a bolt of thunder. Like it just sounded like thunder for some reason. And then we heard a very loud yell. And the yell kind of sounded like the best way to describe it was an old police siren, the old... But it was so loud, it just threw us all off guard. But I'll kind of try and imitate it. It kind of started out as a, oh, kind of yell is kind of what it sounded like, but it went for a long time. And being as young as we were, we knew that there was something up there that we didn't want to be involved with. So at that time, we all just took off running out of the canyon. You know, didn't have anything other than that day happen.
What was your conversation like with your friends? Was it all just...
Before we heard the yell, it was just kind of odd. We were just all commenting like, man, you know, it's just weird. Something don't feel right. And, you know, I had this big dog that I usually took with me everywhere that or had any kind of an issue with anything, and he was just out of wind, scared, strange, wouldn't get off my ankle. And afterwards, I think once we got down far enough, we were felt comfortable enough we could start walking. We were just kind of like, "What was that? Well, man, that was weird." We kind of really didn't know what to think at that time. I mean, we knew there was something there, just didn't know what, you know, and hadn't heard that that kind of a noise up in the mountains before, for sure.
I would imagine, yeah. I would imagine that'd be terrifying. You hear a crash, and then all of a sudden the thing starts vocalizing. Was it vocalizing in your general direction, do you think?
I think so. The canyon is very deep. It's got pretty steep walls. And on the south end of the canyon wall is just thick, thick pine trees. And it was coming towards the top of the south wall and a little bit down canyon. So it was even a little bit below us, but it was up on the canyon wallway, so up towards the ridge line somewhere. So, I mean, it was a fair distance away, but it was, I mean, you could hear it like, you could very, very clearly hear it. I mean, it stopped us all in our tracks, and we listened till it finished, and then we were off on the races. We ran right out of there.
Time to go?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You had another incident with more vocalizations, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. This was maybe... You know, and all this kind of happened pretty close to within maybe 4 years of the same time frame. Maybe a year or two later, I'm not for sure, but I know it was in the summertime. It was probably July. Me and another friend were camping in a campground that was just up above the town that we lived in, which was just below this canyon, you know, maybe a mile and a half or 2 miles below. And we were sitting around a fire, and all of a sudden we heard, and it sounded like a fair distance away, but towards where this canyon was coming from, we heard almost what exactly would sound like a woman screaming, like just extremely loud. And, it was far enough away that we probably weren't in any danger, but man, you could really hear it. We were both laying by the fire, and we both sat right up, and we hit the four-wheelers and headed out of there and went down to home, and we were asking around because there were some other kids and stuff that were supposed to come up camping with us, and they're like, yeah, we have no idea. We haven't been up there. This is all kind of in the same general area.
At any point did you think, hey, maybe this might be a fox? Because, you know, foxes may...
No, I've heard foxes. I've heard mountain lions. And this wasn't either one of those. You know, I've heard them on separate occasions too, the fox and the mountain lion, but no, it was weird. It was extremely loud. It was so loud, but it was very high pitched, like a female screaming. And it was quite a ways away, but you could really hear it. I mean, you probably could have heard it another mile away if you were listening for it.
Yeah, and that's the important part of the story. You know, people might listen to it and go, well, maybe they probably heard a fox is what they heard. But a lot of times when these creatures vocalize, it's so powerful and it's so long and drawn out that no other animal comes to mind when you hear it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely wasn't, you know, we spent all the time we could up in the hills, and, you know, we've heard foxes and mountain lions and elk bugle and stuff, and it was definitely not, I mean, not even a question in my mind, you know, it wasn't any of this, so.
This second time around, what did your friend say when the vocals are going off?
You know, he didn't, this was a friend that was with us the first time, and we didn't really... Our first thought was, it's somebody up there screwing with us, but, I mean, it was so loud and it scared us both so much that we packed right up and left. We went down and, you know, made sure we asked around, made sure nobody else was up there around, and they're like, no, we weren't up there, and I don't think we talked much about it. I don't think, there was much conversation on that between me and him, just like, man, that was weird, you know, kind of stuff. But we never really had much of a conversation on what we thought it could have been.
And how many years later did you and your brother have the incident with the truck?
This is maybe 2 years later that that happened. So, I mean, right in the span of from my freshman year in high school till my senior years when all this stuff was happening.
And can you tell us about the incident with your brother?
Yeah, you bet. This was in October of the year. I don't remember the exact year. I know it was in October because we were up there. We had a late season elk tag. We'd gone up to this spot, and this spot was one canyon to the south of the canyon we heard the first vocals in. And there's a big, there's a four-wheeler trail that comes down the canyon. And then there's a spot down below the canyon that you can park, but you're still back up in the woods quite a way, so you're still kind of out of the way of everything. We had the wheeler in the back of my truck, and we were just sitting there. This was before daylight, and I remember it was kind of cloudy. You could see the moon a little bit, but it was very dark. And I drove an old rebuilt Dodge pickup. And we had gotten up there early, and we had the truck turned off. We were just sitting in there chatting, waiting for it to get just a little bit lighter so we could get out, get the wheeler unloaded, and head up. We'd probably been there, I would say between 15 and 20 minutes we'd been there, and all of a sudden we heard this just loud, just slap, and something hit the tailgate or the back of my truck. And the best way I can describe this, Wes, is it was an open palm. Somebody did something with an open palm, because it didn't sound like, you know, it had the force of, like, if I would have taken a baseball bat, hit it, it had that kind of force, but it didn't sound like that. It sounded like an open palm. So we both, me and my brother both looked at each other and were like, holy, what the hell was that? I stepped out of my driver's side door, and I was parked with my driver's side door was towards the road, and the road was maybe 20 feet away. And as I was standing there, my eyes were starting to focus a little bit into the darkness, and I heard something. In fact, we both heard something walking on the road that was just 20 feet away. And first thoughts were, is it's very heavy. Whatever it is, it's very, very heavy. And walking very slow. So as I'm trying to focus on this sound, my eyes are focusing from the darkness just enough. And I see a figure walking from my left to right. And, you know, it was, the most I saw was a large shadow. But from where I was standing, the slope down to the road was maybe a foot. So I was maybe standing about a foot from the road, and this thing, I remember looking up to see the top of it. So I would guess, you know, whatever this was, it was at least 8 feet tall. It was very massive, extremely massive. But all I got was just a glimpse of a shadow. Right then that instance of fear kicked in, and my knees almost just totally gave out. And I almost fell on the ground, but I was able to pull myself back into my truck. I told my brother, I'm like, we need to get our lights, we need to get our guns, and, you know, get out there and figure out what that was. And so we got our guns, got our lights, and jumped out. It was a matter of 20 seconds that we had gotten everything and jumped out, and there was just nothing there. We just didn't see anything there at all.
What did you think you were looking at? At the time,
I knew what I was looking at. I think I knew that it was a Sasquatch. Both of my brothers have kind of, even, you know, being in the mountains and stuff, we never go looking for them or anything, but we've always kind of had the understanding that they're there. We've always kind of thought, oh, you know, there's a possibility that they're there. We need, you know, so I think at that point, I think I knew what I saw, and I think my even once it hit the truck, I think we both, you know, we weren't sure that that's what it was, but I think we both had an idea that that very possibly could be. And that's once we heard it walking, it was like, okay, yeah, it's got to be, it's got, because it was just so huge, just so enormous.
I'm kind of curious, why did you grab your lights and your guns and want to go after it?
We kind of knew what it was, Wes. We weren't really going to go after it, but I think we wanted to see it. We wanted to have that confirmation on it.
Yeah.
And I had issues with my truck. I couldn't start it from inside. I had to go open the hood sometimes. I had to get wiring issues. So you'd have to jump a couple of cables together, and I can't remember what it was on, but starter cables or something to get it to start. So, I mean, we weren't going anywhere unless we got out.
I gotcha.
But I think, I think we just wanted to know for sure what we saw and what we heard.
Just curiosity kicking in, like, what the hell, the hell just hit the
I think so. I think we both knew, and I think that's why we had our rifles, but, you know, looking back, I think that there was probably more than one there. I can't even imagine how long the sucker could have been standing there staring at us through the window that it finally decided to, you know, do something, so.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those behaviors that makes you wonder if, and I think for people listening to this might say, well, it might be a person, and you don't, you're a hunter, Bill, you know that you don't go and hit on another guy's truck without expecting either A, to be shot, or B, to get it handed to you. But it's really unique behavior that for it to come up and hit your truck like that and then walk off, it's one of those things that makes me think maybe on the creature side, it thought that would be enough to scare you guys and make you guys want to leave, and then you guys didn't leave. As you guys went for it, did you, I almost wonder if it was just kind of off in the brush watching you guys as you guys went and looked for it.
See, and that's what I think is possible. I think that it maybe just went off of the road, and there was very high sagebrush right there, and it could have just laid down or hunkered down, and we wouldn't have seen it. If it was a human, you know, it would have had to been, number one, very huge, very large. And number two, very extremely strong, because with the force that it hit this truck, it was a 1970 Camper Special, and they're built as solid as any vehicle can be. And it hit hard enough that you could feel it rocking.
Wow.
It actually rocked it forward a little ways and back and stuff, so.
What did your brother say?
You know, the weird thing is, we jumped out, we looked around, we didn't really say a whole lot. After we didn't see anything, we unloaded the wheeler and just headed up the canyon and didn't have any other incidents of that day or see anything further that day. But that, you know, it's just weird. We didn't really talk much about it. I mean, we've talked a lot about it since, but as far as that day, I think we were both like, yeah, okay, well, this is probably what it was. You know, we kind of both just had a small understanding that that's probably what it was. And
do you ever still go back to that area to hunt?
You know, I haven't for a long time, and I'm trying to get my older brother, and he's the one that kind of steered me towards your show. Because he knows I've had these experiences and stuff, and he's like, you need to listen to the show because this is the real deal. And that's what it got me started. I keep telling him, I'm like, listen, we need to go down there and spend a night down there. And he's like, F you, you know, there's no way he's going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't, that's crazy. You know, it's for it to come up to the truck like that.
Very, very
ballsy.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, it was an aggressive encounter, but it was aggressive and then it up and left. It didn't stick around. There was a guy in Washington State, and he was actually stuck in the mud. His friend left to go get help, and he stayed with the truck. and then this thing came and hit the back of his truck just like it hit yours. And he thought it was going to, he said it was the force of kind of like if a truck, another truck had backed up against your bumper and then was touching the bumper and then hit the gas. It was enough of that force to push him forward. And it just terrified him, except for that one didn't leave. It actually came around and it was looking at him and it started rocking the side of the truck and they were eye to eye.
Oh, wow.
And it was rocking the truck. But
Oh, I think, you know, Wes, I think it could have, in this experience, I think it could have turned out that way if, you know, if I wasn't able to pull myself back into my truck. And as soon as I, that we were, like, we were loading deer rifles, you know, and I, you know, I kind of agree with you guys. I kind of think they, these things are dumb. And if they would have looked in and saw that, they'd have been like, okay, well, we need to hide now, you know, because we have the rifle. We were ready to, you know, and we jumped out with the rifles shortly after this happened. So,
yeah, I think they're like anything else. I honestly think these are primates, and you know, it's the same category as we are. It's the same category as gorillas are. It's the same category as chimpanzees, in the sense that everyone's a tough guy until someone calls your bluff. You know, and it's even with people, with gorillas, and they'll do these little displays. And you could even take it outside of the monkey family and go with humans. You know, guys will sit and give you their resume and tell you how big and bad they are. But the minute you, the minute you don't back down, all of a sudden now they're, now they don't want to fight. Almost like it bumped the truck, assuming that you guys would probably leave. And then you guys didn't leave. You, not only did you not leave, you both got out of the truck and it was like time to go. So it just went down the, I'm glad you got a look at it though. You got a chance to actually look at it and see, even though it was kind of a dark shadow, you kind of had an idea of what it was. It's an amazing encounter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was definitely interesting. We still talk about it quite a bit.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance, you'll have to come down with me to Texas. And, there's some, that's Jurassic Park down there, man.
Oh, man. I'd love to. That'd be crazy. Man, that'd be nuts. I listen to them experiences on your show, and I'm just like, holy crap. That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I went down there. I thought it was complete Jurassic Park, man. I'd never heard so many vocals in my life when I was down there.
Right.
Yeah, you don't hear too many reports. I think when a lot of people think of Idaho, as I was telling you, I rode my motorcycle through most Idaho.
Yeah.
You think of a real flat, you know, flat plains.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of portions of Idaho that aren't flat plains. There's a lot of wooded areas, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's. And, you know, you hear people that a lot of your skeptics are like, no, they couldn't hide out. Something that big couldn't hide out in the forest. And I'm like, come saddle up with me and let's go for a ride. I'll show you places that you never even thought existed. And then I'll show you some more. You know, there's just a lot of, it's so vast. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, Bill, I can't thank you enough for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it, Wes. And I'd appreciate the, you guys are still doing the show. I know you guys are trying to put up a lot of crap, but you know, I'm glad it, glad you're still doing it.
Thanks, man.
If you're listening to this on SasquatchChronicles.com, hang tight. We got a couple more encounters coming up, including a gentleman who was out for a hike and got in between a black bear and a Sasquatch, and he describes what, as his family's heading down this trail, what they ran into and what he saw. And then the final guest tonight will be speaking with Kurt. Kurt is a researcher now, but one of the very first encounters that he ever had, he was fishing on a river and saw one of the creatures on the shoreline as he was out fishing. Very interesting encounter. You definitely don't want to miss it. So if you're listening to us on SasquatchChronicles.com, hang tight. I'll be right back. If not, I want to thank everyone out there for listening. I want to thank you for all your support. And I will see you guys next Sunday. Have a great weekend.
something to quieten the lights on. This is my
sky.